half of the application. And if you want to, just raise your hand. You'll be called on. You'll come down to the podium. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. I'll then ask for anybody who would like to speak in opposition to the application, and then we will let anyone who has any other comment based on those comments speak. Then it will come back to the commission for a motion, and we will take a vote. All right, our first order of business is approval of the minutes of the April 11th work session and the regular meeting. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes? In that case, may I entertain a motion to accept them as prepared?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
I will abstain since I was not present.
Yes, thank you. All right, then we'll move into our new business. We have application 17-50004. It's a request for city services. The property location is 2638 Columbia Highway North. Vertical Construction Management is the application. Jason Keene is the owner. Is there anyone who would like to speak on behalf of this application? Okay. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this application? All right, then it will be back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chair, with regard to the application 17-50004, City Services Request, tax parcel number as listed, I would move we approve it with the conditions 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Second.
And second. Any discussion? All right. I will call for the vote. All in favor? Okay. It is unanimous. All right. This will then be sent to City Council with a recommendation from the Commission that we accept it. Our next application is item 2. All right, no. Are we missing one here? Okay. All right, our next application then is... Application 17-22004. It's a concept plan amendment located at 2319 Chucker Creek Road. The applicant is Randy Wolcott. Is there anyone who would like to speak on behalf of that? I see Randy.
I'll be happy to.
All right.
Yep. Thank you very much for being here tonight. I'm Randy Wolcott. I live at 221 3rd Avenue, and I'm a real estate agent representing the sale of this property, and I appreciate all of the staff of the planning director trying to wade through this difficult process, because it's been very confusing being a ordinance of a and how to get this handled so that they could take care of this. Our main focus here is that this is a part of a city ordinance. It has been taken out of the ordinance 5 years ago by a majority of the landowners there at the time, and it is owned by the developer still that owns a lot of the out parcels. This is one of maybe 10 or 12 out parcels of the ridge at Chucker Creek. Most of them are walking trails. They're part of the open space. This taking this out still keeps the open space at the requirement, above the requirement, and we'd like to sell it to the people who are looking to operate it as a barn. The original purpose of the building's, you know, development. It's part of the open space. Will remain open and pleasurable viewing. The homeowner association, I don't believe, really wants to take this in, because there's an expense and of maintaining it, and now someone else will take care of that, and it will be maintained beautifully. They've agreed to certain requirements from the homeowners association to keep the fencing correct the way it is now. No parking outside the fence line, keep the cars in-house, a number of things, keep the, and if any, buildings to be in concert with the architecture of the current buildings. We feel that it's been sitting there empty for all this time. It needs to be used. It's a beautiful, beautiful building, and she's going to turn it into something that will be an amenity to the homeowners of the area and of Aiken in general, as it will be a place that you can go have lessons and board your horses, and she's going to tell you more about that maybe. But so we feel that it's going to be a plus-plus for everyone. And so I'm just trying to figure out how to make the sale happen, and I think we have to get approval from planning and the city council to make this work.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Walcott?
You said it was being removed from the ordinance. It's technically not being removed from the ordinance. It was removed from the conditions and restrictions.
Correct.
Which control the remainder of the subdivision.
That's correct.
Now, are you agreeable to going back under those conditions and restrictions?
I don't think that is the plan, because I don't think, again, the homeowners association wants to accept that. They're happy with the way it is now, as long as they agree to the three or four conditions that they have negotiated.
Okay, here's what we're looking at here. One of the conditions is the all future improvements to the stable buildings be consistent and harmonious with the general architecture and overall aesthetics of the residential sections of the ridge. Now, if you put that restriction in there, essentially you're putting the property back into the covenants. They're going to have the homeowners association of the ridge would then have control over changes, modifications, restrictions, adaptations, buildings, etc. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem.
What's your question?
Do you agree to put this property back under the restrictions of the ridge?
That's not my decision. I wouldn't be the one that would have the onus of having to pay a homeowners association dues. Again, I'm the real estate agent. The new owner would have to make that decision, and they have talked with the president of the homeowners association and worked out this agreement, because they were talking about maybe making it two parcels, two payments, or you know, they were back and forth on the financial constraints of that, and it wasn't something that they were willing to do, to buy this property and then have the homeowners dues part of that. They're trying to, it's taken out of it currently, and I don't see, I get where you're coming from, that there's who's going to control that, maybe.
Correct. That's exactly what the planning director.
And I think that they have a good understanding and faith and trust that they'll be taken care of the way they want. They've had a good talks, and the buyer has gone and talked with all of the, she's walked the streets and knocked on doors and talked to a number of the residents there and told them what they're going to be doing, and has got great reviews and a lot of, I don't think you'll hear a lot of negative about what she's planning on doing there.
Well, the reason I asked the question is the planning director and planning department have suggested possible conditions to our approval of the new concept plan, and one of those conditions is that future improvements be consistent and harmonious with the general architecture and overall aesthetics of the residential section of the ridge. And I mean, it doesn't bother me. If I was buying the property, I might say, you know, does that mean they've got control over what I put there? And I think it will. I think it probably does.
Right.
So if we were to adopt that as one of the provisions here, that's where you're going
to
be.
I'll let you talk to them about that. I can't answer that question for you, actually, because it's not my
manager. Yeah, I'll jump. Just so the way this would work in this case is, it wouldn't staff would, because of it's a condition of approval, any building permit that's issued in the city comes through the planning department for consistency with the plans and zoning. This would be the same way. So if there were any significant alterations, then staff would basically pull the covenants and restrictions to make sure that whatever's being built is consistent. So it wouldn't go through the HOA in this case. Staff would have to take into consideration the general HOA restrictions out there, but it would just be a staff level review at the building permit phase of things. So,
well, if you left this number four out, then you're telling me it wouldn't make any difference?
Correct, other than we wouldn't have anything other than just the standard building code. So it wouldn't regulate appearance in that way. In this case, it would have some sort of control, maybe as an aesthetic, to make sure the aesthetic is consistent with the rest of the development.
This doesn't matter to me. If I was the owner, I wouldn't want necessarily somebody other than the city planning. The city planning department is always going to have an issue here with it. But I wouldn't want it to go beyond that necessarily to a homeowner association. We'll see. We'll see what other people say before we go further with that.
There is one of these conditions that were suggested, possible conditions that I feel is a little bit difficult. And what is here? About the stormwater notes. Number two, the approval of the concept plan be contingent upon providing a plan for sufficient access and improvements to adequate stormwater management for the planned development of the satisfaction of the city engineer. And I know this is a lot of history back and forth with this development and the city engineer. I kind of feel that their purchase of this barn really doesn't have a lot to do with the issue of the building going on in the back of phase three, where they've had a lot of issues. You had a stormwater ordinance violation and they had a stop work order in January. It was just lifted because they did all this repairs. But I would like to see, ask if we could have that portion possibly not be a condition of the approval of this, because it's not germane, I feel, in a certain way.
The stormwater issue would be more of an issue for me than the other issue. Stormwater
is a big issue.
Problem. Stormwater is a problem. It's a problem. It can be a serious problem.
I'm very aware of it. I'm on the board of the Hitchcock Woods Foundation.
Oh, okay.
A lot of
well,
stormwater,
you know. You know.
So, but I went there today. Councilman Hunter, I went there today and looked at the streets just to get myself again revisited. Phase one, where this is, beautiful streets. The grass is straight to the edge of the curb. The curbs have no dirt in them. The storm drains are clear. They're, you know, it's functioning in that area where this would be, you know, part of. Phase two and three still have some issues, but they're working on that, and I know that they're all, it's an ongoing process. And what I think number two is going to do is just kill this deal completely because of the time frame. When are you going to say when this is right or wrong? Or, you know, there may be issues for another year out there. And if she can't do this, then she's going to walk away, and the bridge won't have an operating amenity that they're looking
for. Why was that an issue?
So this was recommended by the city engineer, and he's here, and he could probably speak to that this evening if you want him to. But it's also somewhat tied to the whole removal of the outlots concept across the entire plan. When the concept plan was approved, the outlots did a number of things. They provided open space. They provided stormwater conveyance in some cases. They provide recreational opportunities. We have a requirement within our planned residential zoning district that there needed to be a common way for those to be maintained. There was some concern that without it being under the HOA, that they were not being maintained properly as a whole, particularly with regard to stormwater conveyance. And so that's why the city engineer, and he can speak a little bit more to that than I could, but it's tied to that issue.
So you think that's a necessary condition to remain in?
I personally, I I'm not an engineer, and our city engineer is, so that's, yeah.
But, I mean, you made these recommendations that possible as a possible condition, so I'm not an engineer either.
I think that we might have the opportunity to hear some others speak about this, and maybe we can get more information. Because I want to reserve the right. I've had some questions from Mr. Wilcox, but I want to wait and maybe reserve the right to call him back again because of the fact that I want to hear what some of these other people have to say.
Certainly, and we will have an opportunity to hear from the city engineer.
There are 10 possible conditions here, and we've agreed to 9 of them. And I think that number 2 is going to make them decide that this isn't for them and walk, and then we don't have anything left. And the barn is going to sit there and deteriorate and become a problem. So.
All right. Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Chan Carmen. My address is currently 137 South Boundary Southwest. However, I would love to be able to say it's 2319 Chucker Creek Road. I would be the full-time resident at the barn and be running the business. I am a licensed therapist in Montana. I have a mental health background. However, my passion is putting kids and horses together. And so the goal for this barn would be a very small lesson program for kids, adolescents, and I'm not opposed to adults, as well as hopefully in the future continuing to make it more and more accessible to kids who may not otherwise have the financial or ability to take traditional riding lessons. It's a 20-stall barn, however, it's limited to 11 horses, so it will be a small operation. It will be horses that belong to the business, school horses, for riding. As far as parking, there is a lovely parking lot on the property through the driveway around the barn, so obviously there would be horse trailers parked there as are necessary, and when people come for lessons, there would be a little bit of traffic just through the front of the gate, not through the main subdivision part onto the barn property. As far as drainage on the property, there's lovely storm drains built into and around the pastures. I mean, it was really designed well, so the water drains off the barn, those are drains. That's something that we have our due diligence to make sure work and, you know, if they need to be cleaned out or otherwise. Other things that we have talked about with the neighbors as I've been through the neighborhood and gotten a chance to meet them. Obviously, if you've been there, you know it's a beautiful neighborhood. And in fact, the barn is part of the Ridge emblem. So it's important to the neighborhood and it's important to me that the barn continue to be a lovely facility and carry that same ambiance that it has now at the entrance. As far as safety concerns, we've talked about the fence. It's the Kentucky Fourboard. We would like to add a perimeter fence that matches but has no climb. This is important to keep kids, dogs on one side, horses on the other. And so I've talked to the neighbors about that. It will blend. It's really hard. It won't. The fence will look the same, but it will be safer. And I think that was it.
Okay. All right. Will there be the space? I believe Mr. Wilcox mentioned that there might be boarding for other horses available, but you seem to indicate these would just be for your program.
There's a possibility of that. However, that would not be the core of the business because it is a small property, and so to have it at the max amount of horses, it wouldn't work as well.
Okay, great. All right.
The therapy work you're doing, is this going to be a licensed medical facility? Is that your intention, or is it?
No, it would be kids taking riding lessons. It would be impossible to tell the difference between the clients coming for therapy and the clients coming for lessons. Okay. So it would look just like a horse barn.
All right. Commissioners, other questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this? Yes.
Hi, my name is Carla Alarinewo. Should I speak? Okay. I'm a resident at the Ridge, and I'm on the HOA. And we also would feel the barn is a very lovely place, too, as they've stated. And it sounds like they're interested in keeping it the same way we are. But we request that you keep in the condition about the architect, had architectural number.
Two.
Not two.
Four.
Because, as she stated, it was planned as part of the community, and it looks like it is part of the community, even though it has been taken out. And our concern is that we have it aesthetically pleasing. This owner, if she becomes the owner, it seems that she's interested in doing the same thing. But our interest is long-term, even if she decides to sell at some point. We'd like to keep it that way. We don't want it to, at some point, become in disrepair, or because it will reflect on our community. And right now it is a lovely place, although it has not been occupied and being used. We'd like to keep it that way. So that's my request, that we please be able to keep that in. If it has to be, as Mr. Hunter mentioned, that they would be under the HOA or in some way, if it has to be viewed that way, can we make it limited? If they're in agreement and we're in agreement, can it be limited to only the things here? The style of the fence and the paint and the architecture aesthetics. If that's possible, we'd like to have it just be limited.
Well, certainly any arrangement that the prospective buyer and the HOA comes to would certainly be between you all. You know, and you may want to have that in addition to this just to protect your long-term interests.
Yes.
But that would be a separate. That would not be a part of, you know, it would be facilitated if we left four in.
Okay, yes. That was our intention.
Yes.
And I'm new to the state. I moved from Seattle. So I don't know what the city does when it comes to approving outbuildings and things. So I was wondering if the buyer decided to put various outbuildings, because those things are necessary sometimes to store a tractor or to put other equipment that's not stored in the barn. Does the city decide or take into consideration where that outbuilding would be placed on the property?
Well, they have to get a building permit, right?
Right. And so, yeah, there are certain parameters for accessory buildings and where they're located. So they couldn't be necessarily right up against the boundary and that sort of thing.
But since this is at the beginning and the entrance of our neighborhood, it does make an impression on people visiting the community. And so our concern is if the buildings would be on that front portion rather than on another spot in the property.
Right. So an accessory building cannot be built in a front yard, and so anywhere you have a street frontage is considered a front yard per the zoning ordinance, so it would have to be at least further back than that. Yes.
Yeah, that takes care of our concern. And then another question I had for the buyer, she was going to put in a second fence, perimeter fence. The height of it, is that limited by the city? Can it be taller than the fence that's there now?
Yeah, I believe.
Okay. So just like the others.
Yeah.
We have no issues with that. That's fine, too. I've lived there as long as some of the others. We were one of the first or second houses in the community. And there has been times when there were horses there, and there were times it's not. And my personal preference, as well as some of my other neighbors have said, we really like the community when there are horses there. It really changes the feel of the community. And so we'd just like the city to know that we really prefer to have horses in the barn rather than have it empty.
Well, it certainly makes sense. Thank you for your input.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone? Yes, sir.
Paul Simons, 915 Whitney Drive, and I'm actually representing the Carmans in the purchase of this property, getting through the various hurdles. And I guess at least with respect to the one issue that was raised about putting the property back under the CCRs,
I think one of the main issues with that is it's difficult to say, well, we're just going to put this property in there for the very limited purposes that we've discussed. In other words, if we put the property under there, this would be considered a recreational amenity. And the way the covenants have that set up is the other homeowners would be responsible for the upkeep of the barn. They would have to pay towards the maintenance. That's just one example. So there's a lot of, I guess, you would have to carefully redraft the CCRs to have it be consistent, I think, with what the neighbors want, with what the Carmans would like. So we thought it was an easier way just to have these three conditions. I think we had conditions 3, 4, and 5. We discussed that with the HOA. We are fine with that, and I think the idea as well was to have a license to help pay our share of the costs for the community, because obviously if they're using the roads, they feel they should chip in with the expenses as well. I think one of the with respect to the other conditions, the Carmans are completely okay with those. The one condition they're I guess a little slow to accept is number 7, that deals with the access trails through the property. And I guess the concern is more of a safety issue. You're going to have entry-level riders, and if you have people crisscrossing through that property, let's say there's a walking trail, and if they have a dog, the concern would be it could spook a horse, and it's more of a safety issue. So they do have an issue with allowing people to pass through the property. And as you look at it, you know, that property is at the entrance. Really, there really wouldn't be a reason for any of the owners to go through there. I think there is an access trail that goes around what's shown as Marmaton Court. You could go Chucker Creek Road to Buckhart Lane up Marmaton and access the same area. So there would be no real, not necessary to have to go through that property to access the trails. And that's all I have.
Where are these other outlots, A, C, D, E, F, R? Are they all in there too?
They're all mixed in there, phase 1, 2, and 3.
So the only recommendation from the planning department was that they did not recommend, technically, that outparcel B be placed back in the CCRs.
That's correct.
They recommended that all these other outparcels be placed back in the CCRs.
That's correct.
So what about this? What about this plan on the stormwater management?
And that would be the plan from the developer to include all those
back in the
CCR. He's going to be giving. That's the last of the ownership that he has, and that's, you know, once the city will take over the roads, that's what he'll be doing. So
who owns those? Who owns those outlots? I mean, the developer still owns.
Called FPA. The owner is Ron.
Okay. Still own them, so he could sign. He could agree, obviously, to put them back in the CCRs.
And he's the seller of the barn, the outparcel we're talking about. So he is willing to. He's interested in doing that to make everything work.
Do you have any problem, Paul, with this the stormwater management was the condition too?
You know, we're more concerned about the timing. I mean, obviously they don't want to sit
right
for a year waiting for that to happen. You know, they'd like to get started. If it's not going to work out, they'd just as soon know about it and move on to something else. But we just think it would be good for the community to have this operational. You know, in my mind, the only real difference in what's being done is it's instead of being owned by the HOA, it's going to be owned by a private individual. But other than that, it seems pretty consistent.
So if the city engineer and the planning department has no problem with removing that, then I have no problem with removing it. But you see, if they have, we'll put the city engineer up if you want to, Brian, whatever.
Yeah, the reason, though, for that we excluded this particular lot is for the reasons that he kind of spoke of regarding the mechanism of the CCNRs, is that you wouldn't be able to put it back in just the way it left. You would have to build it back in as a residential or actually probably some new sort of property that doesn't currently exist.
I agree.
And so the logistics, if the applicant applicant and the neighborhood were okay with these other kind of alternative mechanisms for controlling the appearance of the property, then staff was okay with that as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's not the issue. Stormwater.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this? Yes.
My name is Allison High, and I live at 197 Buckhar Lane, just right down the road from where the barn is. I have a question about number 7, the existing trails. There are multiple entrances for horses, for pedestrians along Buckhar. They mentioned up one of the courts up there. Would the horses, as part of the stables, access the roads through these? Would they be able to go through our streets to access these, or would they remain in Outlot B's access?
I believe we have anything that would prohibit them from using the city street to access. Not that I know of off the top of my head, and there are a number of access points to the trails from various points on the streets within the neighborhood.
Yeah, so that's just a question that, I mean, with the kids and the traffic, and I know that she had mentioned that there's going to be riders of all levels riding these horses. If they're going to exclude residents who are going through the Outlot B because of that, that concerns me as entering through the neighborhood where the cars and the kids are playing as well. Just something to bring up.
Do the trails run all out in there, and they also run through Outlot B?
As far as I understand.
Right through it. So I don't see how you could continue to have a trail running right through Outlot B if you're going to have horses running out in there.
That's what my question is. I'm not familiar with the entrance on Outlot B where they're talking about, but I do know that there's multiple entrances in the rest of the neighborhood. So with this, would they be able to access those entrances?
I would assume that they could do that already, though, right? As an equestrian property, they're right. Not going to stop them from going on the street. But
so
I do see your concern, too. But. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, kind of to, I would say, the immediate east there of the subject property, as you see on the map, is where the trail system kind of starts. So it does have a route from the property without accessing the streets to get into the existing trail system. I think the concern was that whether I believe there's a current access that goes through the property, cuts through the property. If I back up here to this, you can kind of see the existing house there along Buckhar Lane, kind of immediately behind that was at one point an access that was part of the public plan for this parcel. And so I think there was some concern about whether that would be kept or whether that would go away.
And would there be any restrictions on entering the other trail entrances? Is mainly my concern, because I know some of them are through people's yards and with younger riders who may not be experienced. That just kind of concerns me with the kids. Something else that I am curious about, and I'm not quite sure what the answer would be, future implications. Say she outgrows her barn, which would be great for you if your business grew. What would happen to the property should it be sold? Would it remain an equestrian property? Would it be a commercial use? What does this approval
do? I think that's why we're asking some of the questions that we are, because of the fact that, I mean, she could easily turn around and sell it.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest concern that I know I have as a resident who hopes to stay there for a while.
So, yeah, Madam Chair, the with the change, this is basically, as part of a planned residential, this is treating this particular lot as kind of a differently zoned parcel than the remainder of it within there. And so that would run with the land. So anything approved as part of this concept plan amendment would run with the land to subsequent buyers. And so that this would be what their restriction would be. It could be commercial stable with residents up to the amount of horses stated, that sort of thing. And if it would have to, if for a significant change to occur, it'd have to go back through the process like this.
Okay. So it would always remain an equestrian property, should it be zoned like that?
Correct. It would have the right to remain an equestrian property, yes.
Okay. And any other kind of business would have to be approved again?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
I could also clarify that. I believe that this property is going to be zoned RSS, which is single residential stable, not commercial. So that's a zoning that we have downtown Aiken near the Hitchcock Woods, where there's horses, houses that have horses and stables.
Okay.
It's not a commercial per se. So I don't think that you have fear of it turning into McDonald's or a manufacturing facility or something like that. So I think it would have to be rezoned to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The trail system does stop at the property line, but there is at the top of Marmont access to the trail system, and also below that,
there.
You see, here's an access to the trail system. It's a bridge that goes into this, which is the Freeman Preserve, and then this is the trail system that comes up and it stops here, and so she would use that to walk around, get up across the bridge and get into this. The other thing is currently those trails are all owned by FPA as private property, but once it's given to the HOA, then they will have the right to decide who can use it. One of the conditions of the sale is that outlot, J, or I forget which one it's called, and the Freeman Preserve will have an equestrian easement for her use. So she will be granted permanent access to those to that portion of the trail and to the Freeman Preserve.
So the plan is to enter the trails through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just through there.
Excellent.
So
that need
to be on the
streets.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of the application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to the application? Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to speak in opposition. My name is Melissa Beecham, and I live at 2283 Chucker Creek, which abuts that property. Now, my house is quite old and has been there for over 100 years. I have horses, and I do use the trails. I'm hoping that I would have access still to the trails. I have a gate that opens into the property being considered. So I actually can use that to get to the back side of the trails. If you want me to, I can show you.
Please.
Yeah, I think you're under my sign, yeah.
About a 4-acre parcel up there. I can go out here as well. And I do ride quite often. I'm getting the feeling that I would be locked off here. The gate has been there for years longer than the property has, the stable property. Of course, I haven't seen anyone living there. I've lived there for just about 8 months. I don't know what the facilities are for a residence on the property, so I don't know if they're planning to build another structure or if there's something inside the barn, but...
Well, this would allow it, I think, another residence to be...
I don't know if it did or didn't.
I think it does.
What I'm saying is, as Randy said, this is a very confusing process, especially for those of us who happen to live in the county. And this is city abutting one another.
So you have the right to use, they've granted you the right to use these trails.
Who knows? I'm confused now.
I would say
whether
that.
I have been granted any.
I don't know whether you have or haven't.
Always been told it's an easement, and
yeah,
you know, and everybody gets along, and everybody that.
But we got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You know,
so
that's
I don't even know.
That's way outside of what we're looking at here tonight.
Right.
You know.
The homeowner association.
That'd be a homeowner association issue.
Yeah, you would have to discuss that with the homeowner association. And in view of all the changes that are happening, it would probably behoove you to contact them and see if you can formalize that access if you think you have it,
right,
so that there's no confusion.
Right. I mean, there's never been anything
right
on paper that says, but this has been going on for years and everyone
no one has ever said, hey, get him. You know, it's just, it's been working out. I would like to hope that it does work out for you. I mean, I'm all about the idea of it. And I'd like to see it be a homogenous situation for everybody. I think it is a wonderful idea to keep it as a barn. It's obviously a barn. I do have concerns about the future. That's it. Who knows? If it fails for some reason, I hope for the people that live in the Ridge that those covenants that they have to
that's why we're trying to
and the conditions of the subdivision will be maintained, at least for their sake. As far as I go, I'm okay. I'm in the county. I don't know, but I will discuss it with the homeowners. I'd like to have a good relationship with them.
Certainly. Well, it sounds like you would be doing the right thing to do that. And thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Please.
There is a residence in the barn, so the footprint is not going to change at all. I don't know anything about building a house. That's never anything that we wanted to do. I'd have to give up my arena or my turnouts, and I'm not doing either one. So I would live in the barn. There's an apartment.
Okay. All right. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the application? Is there anyone who would like to make any other comment? Not hearing any, then it will be back to the commission. Before we ask for a motion, do we need to ask for the city engineer? Would that be helpful?
Please.
All right. May we ask the city engineer to come forward, please?
Good evening.
Thank you. Would you address the questions that have been risen about condition number two?
Oh, absolutely. We've been having a good deal of problems with the stormwater runoff in this subdivision. Many of the outparcels that are shown here are actually stormwater easements, and they're eroding away at a pretty good rate. To address even a moment in court there. You can see a little flag lot looking thing that's coming up from the out parcel.
No, point it.
Yeah. Yes, please do.
I think I know where you're talking about, but I.
Right here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular location was supposed to be a robust swell, and no riprap or anything like that that would prevent erosion is present. It's just grassed. During a storm event, what was that, Mike? A month ago? Yeah, about a month ago, storm event came, water came through, jumped the curb, washed out all that grass. And now, you got yards, people's yards are actually being washed away from the stormwater that's coming down Marmington Court. And, a portion of that stormwater actually does come from this parcel in question. So there is, actual stormwater problems here that need to be addressed. That's pretty much what I got to say.
All right. One of the concerns then has, relative to that, has been the projected time that this might take. We've heard Mr. Walcott say they didn't want to wait a year or so. So what can you tell us to help us understand a time frame?
A lot of the time frame would be dependent on how quickly the seller could get an engineer out there to take a look at this. We've already asked in the past, and they started down that path, but it kind of just fizzled out. So when I saw this one, I said, well, here we go again. So it's kind of a reoccurring issue there.
Okay.
Full cooperation, it wouldn't take long. The developer in the phase three has been working with us, and they've been making good progress.
Commissioners, any other questions?
I'm assuming Mr. Monahan owns phases one and two here. Okay, so he's the one, the seller, who's having
difficulties. That's my understanding.
Okay. I mean, I find it kind of hard to put it onto the new buyer. I mean, it's the developer's issue. I mean, it's not necessarily the new buyer. I mean, unfortunately, she's getting the potential problem to deal with. And it's
one other fact that may be interesting is that there is still an active stormwater permit from the state on this. That the city did not do the review on the stormwater. It was actually a state-issued MPDS permit. And, just from our observations, they have not complied with all the requirements of that permit. As far as installing the riprap swell would be a perfect example.
I'll ask you this. Do you have any fallback with the developer in this regard? I mean, to make sure that it's mitigated going forward from a legal standpoint?
We do have some other recourses, but this is kind of a big one.
Right. I mean, I obviously want to make sure that the development is taken care of for the homeowner's sake, but... Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, John, having the other outlots that had been deeded over to back over to the developer, back under a more local control for maintenance and preservation of those under the HOA, does that help you out at all as far as like any of that?
Honestly, Ryan, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, there's going to be areas there that are actual stormwater easements that will be dedicated to the city at one point. I don't know how we would want horses going across that all the time. So, I mean, this is a complex issue. It's you know.
Mm-hmm. It is. I don't want to put it on the buyer, but I don't want it to come back on the city either. I don't want something to happen here, and I know you're talking around the point, but if you don't get this straight, the city could become a defendant.
Absolutely.
And has become, and that could happen. If we're not careful with this.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page there. That's what I'm trying to prevent.
Now, we are talking about just one of the outlots in this application, but we do need to be concerned about the impact on the others.
Well, and I didn't ask Ms. Carmen yet, but is there going to be any potential for asphalt or hard ground packing there for parking for horse trailers? If there is, that's certainly going to increase.
That's
going to
exacerbate it.
Exactly. Greater than it is, and I don't know, you can't look from this map and really see exactly where he saw that erosion coming down, but you know, that whole entire Buck Hard Lane, while I drove by here today, it looks kind of grassy and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know as far as if the water's coming out of the road there, or if it's going to, like to use your word, you know, increase that.
I didn't see any erosion when I drove through, but then I wasn't specifically looking for that. Yes.
Again, this has been a difficult terrain, and they built these roads to city specs with the city with a private engineer. They were all built to those plans. In 2014, they gave the developer a four-page list of punch list of things that they wanted him to complete. He made all those repairs, and I gave just last night the planning board, it wasn't in your packet, but a letter from the city engineer agreeing that everything had been done to the engineering plans and been corrected appropriately, and they thanked him for taking care of it all. So he has done work in the past, and he says his position is it was engineered, he did it to the engineer, they asked him to make some changes, and then they signed off on it. So there's been some, you know, maybe it wasn't, there were some engineering things that weren't done, you know, thought through completely, but and heavy rain now might overwash some of the drains, but he did everything the way it was supposed to be done, and they signed off on it 2 years ago. So, you know, there's a little bit of both ways, but you know, he did try and do it. And yeah, I went out there today, and there's grass up to the curbs. It's a beautiful. There's not any dirt in the gutters. The drains are open. It looks beautiful. I don't see an issue. I see an issue on the new phase, the phase three, where there's construction going on now. But I took a lot of pictures. I don't have them with me now. But, you know, I think that if you went out there, you'd see a fairly close to 100% working stormwater system.
Brian, did you see that letter? Did it actually come to your office?
I did, and I forwarded that to the city engineer.
Okay.
That's the city, and then how does it play in with what they're referring to in the state? Having
I would defer to the city engineer on that explanation.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're going to get you some exercise tonight. So.
That's okay. The state permit was issued through DHEC during an expedited review process. That's Ron Monahan holds the NPDES coverage for both phases 1, 2, and 3. To my knowledge, none of these things have been closed out. They're all active NPDES permits. It was all gathered at one time. A lot of the plans that have been approved through the city since that time are slightly different, yet they never went back and updated the stormwater plans to reflect that. So there is a little bit of a contention there, a little bit of discrepancy. However, in some portions, like Marmaton Court, there was no change, yet not all the BMPs are shown. So, I mean, this is something that really needs to be worked through and resolved.
All right, thank you. All right.
Let me have a quick question. Paul, you were talking about the number 7. Number 7, as we've got it on in our packet here, the exception would be that all existing trail access through Outlot B. I don't see anything going through it.
And that was sort of our concern. I thought maybe that there was some access here that you could access to there, which... did somebody mention that people were coming down the road here and actually going straight down the middle of the property?
Well, we don't know what people do, but I'm just talking about there's no legal reason.
It's not on any plats. It's not.
Okay.
So it's hard.
So number 7 is not really a big deal then.
It doesn't seem like it. I guess our concern is we don't want to be a blanket easement to give everybody the right to walk over.
Well, all this says is existing trail access throughout Outlot B remain intact. Well, there's nothing going through it. Going around it and all that.
That's right. Nothing shown on any plats, nothing in the deeds.
Now, I don't know where the fences would be in relation to those things. Are those things inside the fence or outside the fence?
When you say those things...
That walkway, those yellow, that green access, is that inside the fence or outside the fence?
Well, if I show you that might be... It's a series of paddocks coming in there. That might help. But they are all...
Using my question, if it's inside the fence, then it's really not an issue. Unless somebody's got access to the fence.
The way I think that you can bisect it by going by the barn, I mean, it would...
Isn't
that right?
Yeah, can you go back to the other one?
I can see it a little clearer, but it doesn't.
So this is outside the fence. This is between two houses. There's nothing you could do with that. It's drainage. So, yeah, the fence goes right there.
This lime green colored markings are where the access is. That is the access on the flats and everything else, the trails, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Those are the outlines, actually. Yeah.
Here. And this is the property line. And the property went down to here.
Okay, the yellow stuff is a property line, not an access. I got you. I can see you now. So the only access to that outlet B is that one thing there in the corner.
That's right.
Well,
there's two of them. One on the top, one on the bottom.
Well, the one on the bottom, actually, they own... That's not actually an outlot. It's actually owned... The feed parcel's owned.
Well, okay.
That's part of Outlot B.
And they're willing to...
That isn't a problem, then.
I don't think that's a problem, the way it's worded here.
All right. Any other questions, commissioners?
Thank you.
Then let me call for a motion, after which, if there's more discussion, we can have it.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve application 17-22004, concept plan amendment for location 2319 Checker Creek Road, and maintain the possible conditions of 1 through 10 as submitted. However, potential amendment for number 2 to be
removed, I guess, or passed on to the developer, if possible.
Are you, is, clarification on the motion, are you saying we leave it in or we take it out?
That's the good question.
Your motion.
Would you like to amend your motion?
Yes, sir. I'll amend my motion. I will remove item number 2 and leaving 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. However, I do think number 2 is a huge concern. I just don't think it should be on behalf of the buyer.
All right, do we have a second?
I'll second it just so we can discuss it. How about that?
All right. Now let's, and we, if we're going to have an extensive discussion, would anyone like to submit a motion to suspend the rules?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
In favor? All right. Okay.
More concerned about the drainage issue than anything else. I'd like to see the lady come on in and join the city of Aiken and have that in there. I'm just concerned about the concerns that the engineering department has presented us tonight and any future issues that the city of Aiken might incur as a result of us recommending the city council that this be accepted in. And that's my biggest concern, and I like the idea, but it's just, that's a concern. And then number 7 for me is still, I'd like to discuss that, and I'd like to hear more from y'all and what your feelings on that are.
Well, let's deal with number 2 first. I agree with you. What do the rest of...
I totally agree with you, Bob, and I think the more important thing is, and the city engineer too, I mean, obviously this is a huge concern. However, I think from a common sense legal kind of connotation here, I mean, we've signed off on it from a city perspective. I mean, how can you hold a buyer to potentially go out there and spend this type of money or hold them up for something that's already in play and they're not moving dirt for a new footprint? But I guess that's my big point, but I do think it is a huge concern for the homeowners.
Technically, we're not holding the buyer.
Well, you will, because we'll be holding it.
We're holding the seller.
Well,
because the buyer's buyer. This contract is probably all contingent upon, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'll bet you this whole contract is contingent upon this happening and that not being in there. So I think what you're doing is you're basically telling the seller, which is the corporation, that they got to fix it.
Yeah, I think we leave it in there. The buyer's got more leverage with the seller.
Right? In a way, you could argue that, yes. Or any potential buyer is going to say, well, look, I
can. And it protects the city.
My concerns with the city engineer and what he said as far as, do we have any recourse to go back to the developer? And if we do, I think we need to proceed with that. Also, I think we need to proceed with the documentation that they said that came forth, that everything was signed off on. I would like to see all that before I can make a decision. But at the same time, I don't think we need to put it on the buyer as far as these conditions. But we do need something in here to
protect the city.
Protect the city as well as the buyer.
Yeah, whoever buys it.
So, and Charles, with that said, we've got a motion and we're discussing it, and that's why it would lead me to believe, and I don't know what he's bringing you up, but that would lead me to believe that, you know, you have to make that decision based on what we do have before us already.
Is this what you got? Yes.
Not what possibly is before us, you know, that's my struggle.
Ryan's going to make copies of that letter, so we'll have it to look at.
Well, I would like to approve it. I think it's a great proposal. I think the neighborhood seems to want it. I thought there might be some opposition from the neighborhood, frankly, but there's not. The neighborhood seems to want it. Everybody seems to want it. But we have a city engineer. We're just an advisory sort of body here. We have a city engineer telling us that there's problems. And I'm not willing to second. I can't support the motion because I can't second guess the guy. He knows a lot more about it than I do, and so I'd have to respect his opinion. And that's why I couldn't support it. I'd have to leave it in.
I think the first thing that needs clarification, and perhaps we'll see that in the letter, is, you know, I'm a little confused about the potential conflict between the purported document that says it's all checked off by from the city and then the state not having it checked off.
And that's why I said that we have to go with what we have before us tonight. And I've had the engineer tell us what he did. I don't have any other document. That's unfortunate.
Well, I'm going to see what Ryan's going to bring us back, the copies of the letter that was received. And we'll take a quick look at that first.
Yeah, I think, we can't get deep within the legal ramifications of who is right here. The city says one thing, the developer says another thing. I'm not willing to get into some.
That is not in our purview.
It is way beyond what.
Well, while he's doing that, can we discuss, because he's not available.
Let's look at number seven.
What's your problem with seven?
Just the points that you brought up, I don't know if that's going to be an issue or not. The one thing that you did say, and it's true, we haven't had any opposition. We don't have anyone here that's really opposing this whole plan. And they certainly, it's been posted, and they knew about the meeting, and they could have been here.
Oh, sure.
And I believe that as Beecham told us, you know, she's concerned about access. I mean, she doesn't live in the city. Not that would even make a difference, even if she did. We certainly would encourage her to come into the city, but it's just, you know, it doesn't really make a difference because of the fact that is she going to have access or is someone else not going to have access anywhere, whether it be Ms. Beecham or anybody else, to these trails that they have going now.
Well, my concern about leaving it in, I mean, I'd remove it because from the explanation that we had, formal trails do not exist in there.
That's right.
And so we're granting access to something that doesn't exist. I would say leave it off, and then if they want to, at a later date, pursue some other arrangement between the residents and Ms. Clemon, that would be, you know, on them to do. But I don't know that we need to lock them into doing that when it doesn't exist right now. That would be my concern. What do you think?
I'm in agreement with seven, first removing it.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with what you just said.
I am too, because I think you're right. That's the way I would think. We're putting something in here that might not be in here.
That's right.
We're adding something that really doesn't need to be added. So I would take it out.
Okay. It must have been a long letter. All right, are there any other points that we need to discuss while we are in suspension?
And it is RSS. That
it
is actually zoned for RSS.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, anything that would not be that would have to come back before us.
Sure.
Again. So. Well, we've solved one problem in your absence. Okay.
Thank you.
Put some new wrinkle on this. Thank you.
Well, I would, you know, we're an advisory body. I would still have to say that I would want it left in. The city council, obviously, they can appeal that to the city council, our decision. And that is the place for it to be discussed, in front of the city council with all parties there.
And there needs to be whatever it was that was still missing from the state needs to be looked at as well.
Well, and this is dated, some of this back all the way to March of 14. I'm just wondering, do we have any, I don't know if Mr. Wilcock can answer it for us or who, but do we have any idea how many more residents were added down there on that cul-de-sac since 2014? You know, in that last 3 years, have any of those houses been added in there, in that whole back corner section, or were they most of them there in 2014? I don't know if he's... May I ask Mr. Wilcott that? Mr. Wilcott?
I'm only involved with the developer with the sale of the barn. I'm not intimate with the sale of all the lots in the building there, so okay. I hesitate to comment on that. I don't have that information, but again, I went there today. It's fairly built out. There may be one or two open lots there, but I think everything's very stable. And in phase one, and, you know, like I say, there are issues with the rest of the lots are sold to a home builder, and that's his problem, basically. They're trying to get the developer to make the home builder do his job.
Sure.
So that's the way that it flows downhill.
So the air photo in front of you, just in case you're wondering, is a 2016 air photo, so it's pretty recent.
It is, okay, yeah. Cool.
It does look pretty built out. Is there any further discussion? Right, if not, may I entertain a motion to resume the rules?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? All right. We have a motion that has not been seconded, so it is capable of...
I did. I seconded
it.
I did for discussion purposes.
So now we have a motion. Would you repeat the motion, please?
Sure, Madam Chair. I make a motion to approve application 17-22004, concept plan amendment to tax parcel 124-05-14-003 at 2319 Chucker Creek Road. I will amend my first motion and remove items number 2 and 7 of the possible conditions that have been listed, leaving 1s, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10.
And I will second that motion.
Okay. Since we have had discussion, I will call for the vote.
And that is, no, this motion is omitting 2 and 7.
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Everybody clear on that? Okay. All right, then I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please signify. All opposed? All right, the motion fails.
All right, Madam Chairman, move this along. I will move that we, with regard to this data here, application 17-22004, that we approve it with conditions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10 be included in the motion.
Second.
All right, we have another motion, and it's been seconded. Any discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote on that. All in favor? Okay. All right. So now this will go to City Council with Commission's recommendation. And it will have 2 hearings at City Council. And you'll need to check with the City Manager's office to determine the exact dates on the calendar. All right. Let's look at our next item, which is proposed text amendment to the Old Aiken Design Guidelines for New Large Footprint Buildings. Thank you.
Thank you.
since this one is an amendment, we just need a motion from the commission.
Madam Chairman, I would move that we approve this amendment to the design guidelines regarding text amendment section 6.2.15 of zoning ordinance.
All right. We have a second. Any discussion? All right. All in favor? Okay. All right. And now we have our final one, the proposed bicycle infrastructure on Hampton and Park Avenue. Thank you. We'll now entertain some discussion on this. Is there anyone present who would like to offer any comments on this?
Speaking to this.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Ellen Peoples. I live on Lock Lane, and all of you see me on the three-wheel bike, and I just have a very personal, selfish thing to say. Last year, this time, I was in a cast because if I'd been in a bike lane, maybe it wouldn't have happened, but I got rear-ended and ended up with a broken arm and had months of, you know, recovery time and being in a cast, and maybe if I'd been in a bike lane, it wouldn't have happened, so... Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who would like to address us? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, she beat you to the hand raise, but you're next.
I'm Karen Brady. I live on Vaucluse at 4028 Vaucluse Road, and I'm really for putting bike lanes in there. I travel that road every day. There's not only children in that road. There's recreating bicyclists, people on the weekend with their helmets and their fancy setups. There are people that use that area for bike area now. Every day I see bicyclists. People that don't have a car, either financially can't afford one, or maybe they don't have a driver's license, whatever. That's being used by bicycles all the time right now. I take that road at least each direction every day. And it needs a bike lane. It's part of the development of a modern town and city. It's a safety issue for all ages and all parts of our society, because that part of town has people that are poor. They use that bicycle lane. They would. Now they use this plain street. They use it every day to get to and from work, to and from the grocery store. That's a major bicycle throughfare. It needs, you know, identified as such.
Thank you. All right. Now you may come up.
I'm Sharon Reardon. I have a business on Park Avenue, and I'm really interested in where you propose to put that bike lane.
Do we have pictures?
So, along Park Avenue, what is proposed are share the lane markings from Union Avenue to where Park meets up with Hayne Avenue. So share the lane markings actually go in the lane, in the travel lane. So they do not interrupt parking. What share the lane markings, the actual marking on the road is called a sharrow.
Right.
It does two things. It tells a motorist where they could expect a cyclist to be in the road, and it tells cyclists the preferred location for the cyclist to ride within the through lane. As part of state law, it says that cyclists who utilize roadways are to ride the furthest to the right as feasible or as reasonably possible, and so the share lane markings are just that. They tell them where the general location where that is preferred on the road. The cyclist can use the road with or without the markings. It just attempts to better organize the traffic and treat bicycles as more or less what they are, slow moving traffic.
Okay, I understand that. When we bought this existing building, we moved to that end of town because of the parking situation. We decided that would be a great place to have a business because there was ample parking. So I'm really concerned about problems with that situation.
Well, they're not removing any parking.
No, I know they're not. I understand that. But when you put, Hayne Avenue has it, correct?
Correct.
Isn't there one on Hayne Avenue? I guess people get a different idea about where they should park, where they can't park. And we have a parking problem. So as long as this doesn't affect our business, then it may be feasible to do this, but if it becomes an issue with parking, I think it would be a problem.
And tell me again, where was your business located?
It's next to the Catholic Church office in that block. Yeah, we've had some issues.
And when you say issues, you're talking about not enough parking?
Not enough parking.
Yeah.
Just situations where people, the courts.
Sure, when the court's in session,
yes.
That parking is going to be absorbed by all the juries and the people coming to court.
Sure,
and all that.
Of course.
Sure, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we have that, and we're in the proximity of the Catholic Church, so this is a huge issue there with parking. So, it concerns me as a property owner and a business owner. Thank you.
This should not affect the parking.
Correct. Some
this should not affect the parking. It's just markings in the street.
Right. I understand.
Right.
I saw it.
Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Let me speak again. I'm also a business owner. I have a bookstore near her business, apparently, and I don't see where the parking would be a problem. The parking on York down there right now is a serious problem because of the bridge construction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that presumably is coming to an end sometime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We live long enough, right?
It's sometime in our lifetime. It's okay. All right.
Thank you. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Parks. I live on the northwest side of Hampton Avenue, and I want to tell the commission we are not opposed of the bike lanes, but our main concern is safety. And I have worked with previous city managers, engineers, city council for about 20 years, and our main concern and issue is we need sidewalk and lighting in that area because it's mainly a foot traffic area. We've had many accidents, even death on Hampton Avenue, and it would be it would just be a dream come true that if we could get even this the bike lanes, we need sidewalks and lighting because most of the people in our neighborhood, I have been there 48 years on Hampton Avenue, and most of the people in that area have been there 40 plus years. And they, when we walk, we have to walk in the streets, and because there's no area in people's yard to walk. You don't want to invade anyone's privacy. And also, since Dollar General is there, you even got more foot traffic. There's children, people coming from Senate, Representative Drive, walking to Dollar General and down from, say, North Carolina Avenue and up near the convenience stores, walking that area. And it just become a real safety issue. And we would just like to request, we spoke to Ms. Leslie Price about it. It's been an ongoing thing. I even spoke to our city manager. Previous city managers have promised us the 1 cent tax bond that it would develop this sidewalk and lighting for that area. They were going to work with the city because one half is the city, one half is on one side is the county. And they were going to try to work with the state and see what could they come up with. Well, when the time came, it was no funds that was available. But over the years, they've had extra funding for other revitalizations in the city area. And from Camille area Hampton Avenue all the way down to University Parkway, and they had said in the beginning that 118 bypass would be a diversion from Hampton Avenue, but it has increased the traffic. You know, with Walmart on that area, the hospital, University of South Carolina, it has increased that traffic. And mainly it's a foot traffic area, and it's just very dangerous in that area. And I'm bringing forward to the commission, if you could talk to the city about mainly the sidewalks in the area, because it's even for the city buses, school buses, the city, county, and emergency vehicles, that's the main route to any area that they got to, they're going to, is Hampton Avenue. And it's no speed limit. You know, it's kind of like open season, you know, going down through there, especially in emergency, and we can understand that. And you have a lot of children. I have 9 grandchildren in the evening that plays out in that, you know, on the side, and they don't know danger. And I've even gotten some of the officers to talk to them about safety, the children on that area. But children, they just play. And sometimes it's a lot of people at my house, and people run off the edge of the road between our house and other house when they're going around that curve near Dollar General. So that's our main concern.
Well, thank you for those comments, although I will have to say that what is before us is simply the bike paths. Your comments, though, will be duly noted, but it is outside of our ability to make a recommendation.
Right. Well, I just want to make that known that it's a serious concern of the neighborhood.
Bike lanes should help some, I would say.
It should help some. But I just want to bring forth also about the sidewalks and need for lighting.
You have done so.
Can I say, we have, as a commission, we've talked about that when we brought Dollar General in.
Right.
We talked about sidewalks, although to go back to the chairman, you know, that's not before us tonight. But
right.
What I need to know from you is, are you for the bike lanes and the enhancement of these lanes being designated on Hampton Avenue? I never did hear that specifically.
I'm not opposed to them.
Not opposed to them.
No.
Okay.
I just want to let you know, in respect to you, that we are not opposed to the bike lanes and the people in Kennedy calling it, but we've just been fighting a long time.
Yes. Well, it was a concern, you know, as the commissioner stated, that we raised when the Dollar General proposal was before us. So it is something that we're aware of.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Refresh my memory. Are there sidewalks by the Dollar General?
No, it's none. The sidewalk goes from 19 past, say, Second Baptist and down to Pluckett, because the main item at that time they wanted to, when people come into the city of Aiken, they wanted to give this persona of being this beautiful city,
mm-hmm.
and but they weren't concerned about the infrastructure on further down. And and I was even in a meeting with them during that time, because even if we said lighting would help, and if it was just something like down on Richland Avenue, where they put the little sidewalks down, that would help a lot, because we don't have that much footage there, you know, from the road to our homes. But, you know, anything would help so people wouldn't.
As we get other applications in that area, I think we'll certainly take into consideration the request for having them install.
Okay, well, we appreciate it.
But that entrance on 19... Sure, a whole lot prettier than that entrance coming in from Augusta.
Oh, you're right, Mr. Hunter. And you know, also, you know, we're proud of our area, too. And like one lady spoke before, that is a lot of underprivileged people, children there. But still, we have pride in what we have. We have pride in what we have, and we want it to be safe for the residents. And we're working at it now to some areas that's not that presentable. We want we're working with that also to try to tear down some vacant homes that's become an eyesore to the area and to some of the streets. But down on Hampton Avenue, it's just a safety area also, and that's a safety area also, you know, with we worry about crime and all in those areas.
Well, thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you.
Right, is there anyone else who would like to be heard? Yes, sir.
Yes. My name is Mike Costigan. I am located at 403 Park Avenue. Question I have, nowhere on any of these maps can I tell where these lanes are going to be running from Payne Avenue around the corner on Park. The reason I say that is it appears that this is going to be connected to what is currently on Hayne Avenue. Is that correct?
No, nothing else is going to be built, Mike.
I understand that. I'm just saying.
The sign in the road.
Right.
That's the theory.
Right. Right.
Sign in the road. Not in the road. On the road.
Right.
Surface.
The concern I have is that if you're familiar with Hayne Avenue, people come down there pretty fast. When they get to right near where it turns the corner onto Park, it's 25 miles an hour. Nobody goes 25. They come around that corner, and in front of my office and all those offices right there on Park, we have angle parking. Now, when you're in the car and you're looking back over your right shoulder and there's a car parked right to your right, you can't see a car coming around. That's very dangerous. Now, I assume from what I can see and from what I've read here that that would be out beyond where those angle parking markings are. Okay. It says here in paragraph 3, motor vehicles may not block the bicycle lane to oncoming bicycle traffic and shall yield to a bicyclist in the bicycle lane before entering or crossing the lane. If you're in your car, you can barely see a car coming around the corner. Backing up, my concern is cyclists coming along there, someone backing out and hitting a cyclist who is coming around that corner.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I agree with you. As a retired police officer, I'm going to tell you, I agree with you. However, that bicyclist, by state statute law, has just as much right as you do in that automobile. So this is just kind of enhanced, hey, everyone, you're coming down the road, bicyclists could potentially be here. And that's what these markings are about. It's not a right-of-way issue or whatever. The law is not going to change based on markings.
I understand that. Can the markings begin around the corner at 300 Park and go around the corner from that corner on versus having it in front of the office?
I don't know how they decide where to put the markings exactly, Ron.
Yeah, I mean, nothing here shows us where those markings are going to be.
That's right.
That's my concern. And the fact that it would be there, it's a safety issue to me. I'm going to have people out in front of my office. As it stands right now, many times with some of my older clients, I have to walk outside with them. I have to get out into the middle of the road and stop traffic so they can back out safely. Now, if that's for cars, imagine what it's going to be like for cyclists coming around that corner really quick. And what I'm asking is, can these markings be started at the 300 Park Avenue addresses and go down from there?
Can you make that happen, how that works?
Does a traffic engineer make those decisions? I mean, I have the same question you do, Liz. I don't know.
I think Mr. was probably better than I could.
Tom Wex, 125 Live Oak Road, Aiken. I'm also chairman of the Aiken County Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee. First of all, to share the lane markings, it's not a bike lane. Therefore, and by the design guides that these will be installed by, they're spaced about every 200 feet, and they're in the lane designating the location where bicycles are expected to ride. In the case where there's parallel parking, the sharrows would be far enough out in the lane so the cyclist is not in the door zone, so somebody opening a car door will not impact the cyclist. In the case where there's head-in parking, the sharrows will be approximately in the center of the lane, spaced every 200 feet. A car backing out is going to have to look and be just as cautious as they would when they're backing out from a motor vehicle. The fact is, if the sharrows are not in the lane, are not there, people who ride bikes are still going to be in that lane. They still ride that road. As you stated, the purpose of the sharrows is to alert motor vehicle operators when they're coming around that curve. They've seen the sharrows spaced at their regular intervals. It gives them the alert that there can be and will be bicycles in the road. So leaving them out in one particular location is actually going to increase the potential and reduce the safety given by spacing them at the regular interval of every 200 feet. As far as Hayne Avenue, it has sharrows coming off of Richland Avenue up to the point where it widens out, where we did put bike lanes in. The bike lanes got removed. The intent is to restore sharrows in that portion where the bike lanes got removed. So we would have a continuous route off of Richland Avenue marked with sharrows on Hayne, continuing on in the park all the way to Union. So it's a consistent marking. It increases safety for people who ride their bikes anyway along there, and it's all part of the overall plan to create connectivity for people who ride bikes in the city of Aiken. And it just so happens that Park Avenue and Hampton were two of the higher priorities that we can cover with the federal dollars that we have access to, and it's basically the limited scope that we can accomplish. While I'm here, I'll also say that...
One moment. Yeah. So the bottom line to his question then is no.
No, you can't. You don't want to open up and leave a space that's unmarked. Once you start marking them, you mark them every 200 feet.
Okay.
And I will say to the lady who commented about sidewalks on Hampton, the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee also believes we need sidewalks there, and we have recommended sidewalks be installed there and taken on as a separate project. Can't be done as part of this project because it's different dollars.
And not before us, but thank you. All right, does that help you?
Yeah, yes, in a way. Still concerned about the safety issue. Hayne is very wide. You can have the sharrows there. When you come down to right where Hayne turns onto Park, I'm not sure how many of you have ever been there. That space is very limited.
It is.
I realize state law says they have as much right to the road as an automobile or motor vehicle. However, I am concerned that that corner, which people fly around that corner all the time and fly right in front of my office and turn the corner on Park going in the 300 block up towards Lawrence. It's a very dangerous area. It really is. And it's my concern that if these sharrows are put in there, this would obviously now not be close to the curb. It would not be near the current parking. It would be out in the middle of the road from what I'm hearing. I wish you just be aware that it is a dangerous situation. And I'm concerned that motor vehicle operators are not going to be that concerned with bicyclists. And having that in that area, it's dangerous. I heard him say, of course, this is going to be an extension of what was already started on Hayne Avenue. I understand all that, and we all know what happened last year when all of this came up. It was not well liked by the neighbors. I certainly am concerned about the safety issue. I'm just telling my concerns.
Well, we can certainly hope that putting them down will at least alert pedestrians, both drivers and cyclists.
Well, it is an issue. It's safety.
Thank you. Is there anyone else before we go to the motion?
Good afternoon. I'm Pastor George Burkhalter, and I pastor Faith on High Church at 919 Hampton Avenue, Northwest Aiken, and I had a couple of neighborhood came to me and asked me would I represent them tonight because they're very excited about a bicycle coming through because of the children's in that area, especially Hampton Avenue and Reed, in between Morgan and Reed. So their concern is, how soon will you be starting?
All right.
And as a pastor and concerned about the souls of the people getting hurt, we would like to we'll be praying with you and for you that this project will go through real soon.
So that we have a time other than this.
So we are a recommending body, as the chairman would tell you, and so we would recommend one way or the other to city council, and then city council, as you heard the chairman discuss about a prior event, it would be scheduled for city council to hear and that kind of thing.
No problem.
There's going to be, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I understand that. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank you for your comment. Yes, sir. And then if there are others, if you, I would ask due to the time that if you would like to make comments that have not been previously made, that would be fine. But yes.
Good evening. My name is Eugene White. Mine is quick. I'm the NAACP president. I just have a very quick question. I'm wondering if an approximate cost for the installation of sharrows along the proposed route has been computed yet?
Yes.
The total project cost is $101,000, and 80% of that has been funded by a federal grant. The 20% will come from CP.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you.
All right, that was short. All right, yes, ma'am.
Yes, one more question.
Okay.
Were there any other routes proposed for these bike paths?
Not at this time. This is what's before us.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Betty Ryberg. I'm also on the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Commission, and I'd just like to address the business concern first, which that no parking will be lost. I think that everybody here understands that we are also pro-business. The second thing that to address Mike Costigan's is sharrows and share the lanes slow down traffic. It just the visibility and the sight of those markers really does slow people down. So I think that we're where he is, which we're very familiar with, I think he will see people will actually slow down. Not a cyclist, not a person on a bicycle, just the actual sharrow slows people down. That's what studies show. So I just want to make sure that the parking, the people that are way down on Park Avenue by the Railroad Museum, they got together and they were actually really excited about this as long as no parking was lost. One thing that has not been brought up, and I'm good friends with the Parks family for 40 years. I have kept up with their children who are our children's age. We have a lot of people that do not have automobiles in this town. They come from Vaucluse Road, and one of the things that kept Bruce Duchessois keeping his piece of property where it is because people could walk and ride their bikes and go to work there. They come from all parts of the city. There is no safe place to drive on Whiskey Road, ride your bike on Whiskey Road, but you can ride your bike safely to Bruce's Field down Park Avenue. And if we are able to drive in a car and get to work, somebody that walks and also rides a bicycle to get to work should be safe as well. So I ask you to consider those routes as the safest routes for people to come if they want to have employment in other parts of the city. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Not seeing any other hands, it'll be back to the commission for a motion. And I'll remind you to consider page 2.
So can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is your page 2, right? The back portion?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the application for bicycle infrastructure for Hampton and Park Avenue and make a recommendation to City Council to authorize the use of the capital sales tax funding to complete the project, as the remaining portion will come from the federal grant or the That's the correct wording for that, but the
federal transportation.
Right. So, my motion is to approve.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor? Okay. All right. Now this will be unanimously presented to City Council for approval. There being no further business before the commission, our meeting is now adjourned.